Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Hadelet shebamukza v'chadakim shebepirtza u'machatalot einu alin behen elim kein gavoy min haaretz." So you have a door to a mukza. Now the door to the mukza is the equivalent of a backyard that is not heavily used, something that's used some of the time. Access to the backyard is through the house itself. But since it's not heavily used, they don't make a proper door. A proper door involves a door on hinges that you can open and close, you can swing open, you can swing close. But since the utility of this area isn't so frequent, he just, instead of making a door with hinges, he just puts up a board that he can remove when he needs to get out there or put back in when he's not out there. So then sometimes they hang it from a string to hold it up, or it drags on the ground. So that's the door. The chadakim shebepirtza is he takes bundles of thorns, the equivalent of what we'd call today like barbed wire, and then he places into a breach in the wall or to a holder to prevent people or animals from coming through that area. Or a machatzelet. A machatzelet is a reed mat that he uses to put up. Then he's not allowed, ain no alin behem. You're not allowed to use these to close up that empty area, unless they're off the ground. And as Rashi explains over here, it's because it looks like your boneh. When it's hanging and nigreret and dragging on the ground, it's not kavua. And since it's not kavua, it looks like your boneh. As opposed to if it was on a string and hanging off the ground, it would be obvious that this was the door, the piece that fit in there. And it is not being boneh, that he would take it off and put it back in, because it's hanging from there. But as soon as it's on the ground, it's less obvious that this item is a permanent fixture here, meaning something that they take off, they put back, like a door, like a normal door would be, and then it would be less of an issue. But here, because it's on the ground or drags on the ground, looks much more like your boneh, mechzeg boneh. And that's why we require you to have it off the ground in order for it to be permissible to use. Verminu, is that really true? Delet hanigreret. So we have a door that is dragged on the ground. A machatzelet is a reed mat, again, that's on the ground. Or a kankan is when they plow, it is the plow itself, the piece that goes in the back that holds up the metal plowing mechanism that you tie to the back of the animal and that you ride behind the animal with to plow the field. So that's the kankan, as Rashi describes it. So any of these items, sometimes you'll take that item off and put it into the doorway to block it, or you stick it in there to block up the door. So now the Braita gives us the information about when you're permitted to use this. If they are bizman shikshurim vitzluim, if they're tied and hanging, no alim behen b'shabbat, you can use them on Shabbat. Vein tzarech lemar b'yom tov, and you don't have to say that on Yom Tov. It says that they are kshurim v'tluim, that they are both kashur and talui, that they have to be tied and hanging. But what it doesn't mention over here, that is, have to be off the ground. Our Mishnah made a demand that it be gvoy min haaretz. They have to be off the ground. They can't physically be on the ground. There has to be some gap between the item hanging and the ground itself. The Braita over here doesn't even make that demand. The Braita simply says that they are tluim and kshurim. Kshurim means they're tied. Tluim means they're hanging. But hanging does not mean necessarily off the ground. It could even be on the ground itself, as long as it's not fully on the ground. At least it's hanging a little bit. It's keeping it a little bit off the ground, which would be a stira with our Mishnah. So how do we resolve the stira between our Mishnah and the Braita? So Amar Abaye, you have to understand, this Braita is talking about a case, Peshishlem Tzir. It's a case where the item has a hinge in it. Now the hinges in those days were not like our hinges today, where there's a bracket inside of the door frame that opens and closes with the door. Their hinges were actually a hole in the ground, hole in the crossbar, and then they had pegs in the door itself that rode on that. You can see it still today when you go into Yerushalayim or you look at any of the antiquities. If they had doors like that, there's usually a hole that is chiseled out of the stone. Stone is carved out or chiseled out to make a hole for the tzir. So here, where the door has a tzir on it, it's obvious that that's an item that's not being used to build, but rather to fit in as the door. So that's why it helps over here. Rav Amar b'shayalim tzir. That's not only that they have a hinge on it now, but they have the hole there that indicates there was a hinge there in the door. So that's enough to take care of it, because you have other evidence of the fact that this is being used as a door that's being taken off and put back in. rather than binyan, building. So meitave delata nigreret. Umechatzelata nigreret. Vikankana nigrar. So these are items that are dragged. Dragged means that they're still laying on the ground. They have a door, a reed mat, and this kankan, this plowing mechanism. Bizman shikshurim vituluim, when they are tied and hanging, ugvoim min aretz, and they're off the ground, afilum lo nima, even a hair's breadth, no'alim behem. Then you can use them to lock up that space or close that door. Vimlav ein no'alim behem. If not, you can't use them to lock the space. So now we solved the problem because we said, okay, the Braita is different than our Mishnah, because the Braita is a case where it has a tzir. Then we come here and we find another Braita that really supports our Mishnah and seems to indicate that you have to have it off the ground, otherwise it doesn't work. How are we going to reconcile? So, Abaye mitaretz l'tamei, Rava mitaretz l'tamei. Each one of them answers based on their position. Abaye mitaretz l'tamei, o sheyesh lem tzir, o shegvoy min aretz. You have one of two options to solve your problem here. They have to be kshurim v'tuluin. They both have to be tied and hanging. Then you have one of two options now. Either it's gvoy min aretz, it's off the ground, or according to Abaye, yesh lem tzir, it has a hinge on it. So there's three requirements. Kshurim, it's tied. Tzurim, that is hanging, it's not totally on the ground. And then the third option, you have two possibilities. You can either have it gvoy min aretz, it's actually completely off the ground, or it has a tzir, it has a hinge in it. One of those two items will indicate that this is a door, a piece that's put in here, and not something where you're bonet. You're taking something off the ground and putting it into the walls if you're extending your house or building your house. And Rava mitaretz l'tamei, Rava explains the same thing, just with his position, which is k'shayelam tzir, osh gavoyim in aretz. That last option is either to have it off the ground, or that they had a hinge in the past, meaning they have the hole there that indicates that this board was used as a door and had a hinge in it. So there's the solution to this problem, both between the Braita and our Mishnah and the two Braitot, which is that you have different possibilities of getting rid of this problem of Mechseke Bonet. Either it's off the ground completely, or it has something in it that indicates that it's a door, which is a hinge, or according to Rava, the place that had a hinge in it. It's enough to show us that this is a doorway, this is being used to seal us up, open and close, not something that you're taking off the ground and being mechseke boneh, that it looks like you're building over here. Right, Tanur Banan. So, chay kutzim v'chavilim. So, we're talking about these bundles of thorns, or chavilim, or packages, or bundles that are put together. Shitkinam lepirza, that shibachatzer. They put together for a breach. Zman shikshurim v'tluim no'alim v'hem v'shabbat. If they are tied and hanging, you can use them on Shabbat. Vein tzarech lomar b'yom tov. And there, you don't have to say on Yom Tov. Obviously, if you can do it on Shabbat, you can do it on Yom Tov, because Yom Tov, we have less of an issue generally on Yom Tov with doing these types of things. So with regards to Kotzim and Chavilim, we do not have as higher standard as the doorway, even though it's Mechzei Keboneh also, but there we have less issue. It's less Mechzei Keboneh, and therefore over there we just need them to be Kshirim V'Tzluin, then they can utilize them. Versus the door, the wood, where we're going to force you to have it both kshurim tulim, and either off the ground or have a tzir or have the hinge in it. So Tani Rabbi Chia, delat almana, a widow door, hanigreret einu alin ba. If it's dragging on the ground, if it's still touching the ground, you can't use it. So Mar wants to know, echidami delat almana. What exactly is this widowed door? So igadamre, some say the chadshifa, that it's made out of a single board. It's a single board, which very much looks like your building, Mechzei Keboneh, when you put it in. So if it's Nigrar or Aretz, we're not going to let you put it into the wall. Or the other possibility that it's here is Ve'ika D'Amre, that's Deletle Geshema. It's a board or a door that does not have either the Rabbeinu Chananel suggests that Perek Geshema Beit Kibul Shotzir, Shukum Albein, El Yoredet Umishtaka Dvaretz. It is a square that does not have a hinge, and instead it gets depressed into the ground, meaning that when you place it in, there's some sort of groove in the ground there, and you place that into the groove, and then you slide it into place. So that really does look like boneh, because you're inserting it into a ground, almost looks like you're framing it into the ground and putting it on. Rashi says, on the other hand, that this geshema is a bunch of boards that do not have brichim to hold them together. Brichim are cross beams or cross bars to hold it together. You have in a doorway, either you have a single piece of wood, which we already discussed, or you have a number of beams or pieces of wood that are attached together by having a crossbar that holds them together. So that crossbar holds them together is what makes them into a door. So here it's delightly Yishama. It doesn't have that cross beam over here. So according to Rabbeinu Chanan, it's missing the hinge, and the way that it's inserted into the ground is by having a depression in the ground. But according to Rashi, it's a case where the cross beam is missing, the crossbar is missing, so you have these boards, instead of being attached, are now individually, and you're putting them in, one by one, into their area. So both of those really look like bonnet.
Like taking a 2x4.
Exactly, it's taking a bunch of 2x4s and putting them in, instead of having them attached together where they make up a door. In those cases, you may not do it if they're nigral al aretz, if they are on the ground, because that really looks like bonnet. So unless they're suspended and they're off the ground. Correct, it looks like bonnet. We know that you're not building because your intent is to put this in and take it out again. It's like a door for you. But for someone else looking at this, looks like you're taking 2x4s and filling in a hole. Looks like you're building on Shabbat. Because it's mechzik bonnet, we're not going to permit it. If, again, for the Rabbeinu Chananel, you have a hinge on that, then it looks like you are putting in a door, not building. For the Rashi, if you have the cross beams on it, then it looks like you have a door. It doesn't look like you have a bunch of 2x4s that you're trying to put into that gap. So, Amar Rav Yehuda, Hai Medurta Milmalo Lemato Shori. This Medura, when you're building up a pyre, Milmalo Lemato, you can do it from up to down, that's permissible. Mimato Lemalo Asir, but if you do it from down to up, it's problematic. So over here, we're dealing with an issue called Ohel, of making an Ohel. So our problem is, if you're going to put out a bunch of logs, this is obviously on Yom Tov, when you can use fire and you can build a fire or a pyre on Yom Tov. So the way, if you lay it out by creating, let's say, a square of logs, and then there's an empty gap in the middle, and then you start placing logs across that frame that you put out, if you're doing that, you're basically creating an ohel on Yom Tov, and we don't want you to do that, because you built the frame around it with the logs, you framed it out with about 4 logs, and now you're placing the logs across the top as equivalent of an ohel. So that's not permissible, because that's mimata lamala, from the down up. On the other hand, milmala lamato, the other way around is permissible, which is, you can hold the logs up, and then your friend can bring in the side walls and put them in, meaning bring the frame and put them in. We saw this before again in the Gemara, which is, you can hold up a sheet, and then you can push up the mattress on one side, push up the mattress on the other side, and then it stays there. As long as the, what we call the ohel, the roof is there first, then putting up the walls or what holds it up afterwards is okay. That's not building an ohel. Problem in building an ohel is if you have the walls there, and then you put the top across. So that's what he says here about this Midurta. If you want to put this pyre together, you don't build the frame on the bottom first of logs and then place the other ones on top, but rather first put in the top ones, hold them up, and then have your friends slide in the logs underneath it to hold it up.
But if everyone sees you building this, they know you're not building
an ohel. Right, but here it may not be about Mechzik Abona. Here it might be that you are creating an ohel, that you're literally creating an ohel. It's not about somebody else seeing you, but rather you're actually putting a roof or a cover on top of something with an airspace below it. And that we don't want, because that's what your intent is.
Even if it's not an ohel.
It doesn't have to literally be a tent. Here you're creating something where the airspace below is important to you. The reason you need the airspace is for the fire, to start the fire and kindle it underneath. So you want that airspace underneath. So you really are creating an area that's surrounded on the sides that has a cover on the top. Then, v'chein bi'ato. Bi'ato comes from be'yo, which means for eggs as well. Rashi claims that the eggs here is the sader, abeitzim al-gichalim, a kli barzel shekorim griddle. To put them on top of the coals with something called a griddle, which we know is like a grill, that you would put on the eggs and line them on top of this, on top of the coals. So that griddle sits on the coals. And by putting the eggs on top, you're sealing in that area, you're creating a roof for the griddle. Because you have the coals on the side, you have this mechanism, or whether it's a kli even, that has walls, you put the coals into there, then you have the top. The top has the griddle on it. When you start putting the eggs and piling them up over there, you're going to seal off the top. You're creating a top to it. Tosafot does not like that explanation. He says, I don't see why that's an ohel, and I'm not sure what the problem is over here. For he says, V'teda sharei heter pashutu. I'll tell you that for sure this is mutar, because laniach deira gabi tripida. You're allowed to put a pot onto a tripod, and we don't have any problem with that. So rather, he says that so when near the re the farish misaderi tzim obitzim miniach bitza gabehem. So what he's talking about here is that either he puts out logs, like we talked about with the wood before, and then on top of the wood, you know, he frames out the wood, and then he puts eggs along that as a cover along the top to light the coals underneath it, so that the wood will hold up the beitzim. So those beitzim are acting like an oil again; they're acting like a cover on top of it. Or he piles up beitzim, he puts a beitzim, lays them out, and then he puts, you know, across the top of them another one where there's a gap in between. And you stick the coals in between them to cook them. So then he Tosfot also makes a note at the end here that Leki Isura Elishitzarich Lavir Tachtehem, which is what we discussed before. The only problem is when you need the airspace underneath it. Just because you put three things together doesn't automatically mean you're making an Oel. For instance, he says, Inami Delodami the Binyan, because then it's not like a Binyan. Elksha Osel Gabi Karka Veloala Shulchan. Or because you do it on the ground and not on a table. That means, he says, for us, that we are Mesader Kikar. Mikan, Vikikar, Mikan, Vikikar, Al-Gabehem. We take a loaf of bread, put it down, another loaf of bread, and then stick a third loaf of bread on top. Is that an Ohel? But according to what the Gemara is saying now, it seems like that is an Ohel. The Tosfos says, no, that's not an Ohel. And also, Sfarim. You put two books down, you put a third book on top of them, did you just make an Ohel? Tosfos says again, no. So here he gives two reasons why that's possibly not considered to be an Ohel. Either one, because you don't care about the airspace underneath. That you're just putting it here for convenience. That's the way you're stacking them. The air underneath it, that's not necessarily useful for you. In the case of the logs, in case of the other items that we mentioned here, the airspace underneath is as important as the setup that you make, because you're going to light a fire under there. That's one reason. Or he says, because you do it on the table and not on the ground. It only looks like an O when you do it on the ground. You do it on your table, you don't build tents on your table. So when you do it with the books or the loaves of bread on the table, that's not considered to be building an Ohel. So Tosafot gives us a little more insight into what the issue is over here. V'chein kidra, a kedera. So here when it comes to pots, when you stick a kedera, it means that you take two things to hold it up, and then you place the kedera across it. But again, you're trying to create the airspace underneath it, so you light the fire underneath it, so you have two things to prop it up, like you would do out in the field. You want to cook a pot, you'd create two pieces of logs of wood or two stones, and then you'd put the fire in between them, and then you stick the pot on top. That's, again, the problem of an ohel. V'chein puria. Puria is a bed. So here when we're talking about a bed, we're talking about, Rashi says, a traveling bed that they used to take along with them, where you have two crossbars which have a piece of leather that's tied to them, and then you have legs that you put in. So you can't put up the bed, by sticking on the legs, propping up the legs, and then sticking the bed the part that holds up the leather cot on top afterwards, because then you're making an ohel. Whereas, if you hold that up first, and then have two people stick the legs in underneath, that will be permissible. V'chein chavita. And the same thing with a chavit, with a barrels. Barrels here, he's talking about the wine. When they stack the wine in the cellar, you can't stack the barrels in a way that you have two, and then you put the third one in the middle. So over there, you have to suggest that they want the airspace in between them, you want the airflow between the barrels, because that's beneficial for them if they put them too tight. Since he wants the airspace underneath, he's creating an oel when he puts the third one on top. So all of these are restricted because of Ohel. Obviously, we got into this because we were discussing the issue of Mechzei Kebone or Boneh. And over here, these are a number of items that have a problem in terms of Boneh because you want that airspace underneath it. Amarle, how Stuki the Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya? This Stuki said to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, Chidka, Dichtiv Bichu, this Chidka that's written about you, Tuvam kechedek, the best of them are like a chedek, which is the equivalent of a coats. So it says over here that the best of you are like thorns. So why would the Torah ever call you or Bnei Yisrael a bunch of thorns, or the best of you are thorns? So he says, Amalei Shatya, says you fool, Shpil the Sefi Dekra. Why don't you go to the end of the pasuk? Tichtiv, Yashar mi misuka. So the ones that are straight are better than a sukkah. Ve'ela, my tuvam kechedek. So if the best of them are like a sukkah, which is that the best of them protect, shield those that are less deserving, the tzaddikim or the best of Bnei Yisrael protect Bnei Yisrael like a sukkah, then how do you explain the first half of the pasuk? So my tuvam kechedek, kashem shechadakim alalu miginim ala pirza. Just like these thorns fill in the breach in the wall, you use it as a way to fill in the breach. Again, equivalent of how we would use barbed wire today. So too, the best of them protect us. Hashem crushes they crush the Rishayim down into Gehinom. Shnemar, kumi vidoshi batzion, get up and crush batzion ki karnech asim barzel, because I will make your horns out of iron, parsotech asim nichusha, and I will make your hooves out of copper, vadikot amim rabim, and then you will crush the great nations. Over here, the word, instead of being chadak with a chet, but hey, hadek, which means to crush, pulverize. So that means tovam hadek, means that the chadek, the best of you will pulverize them. You will ruin those that are the rishayim, those that are the evil ones. And so that's why a positive statement over here. So obviously it was brought here because in our Mishnah we discussed the chadakim, which are these thorns that are used to fill in the breach in the wall. So too over here, they're interpreting the pasuk in the same way, which is that tovim mechadek, that the best of them are thorns, which means that they are filling in the breaches. Or again, we played on the word hadek with hay, which means that they'll pulverize those that are evil, those that are causing problems for Bnei Israel. Okay, next Mishnah, which is lo yamod adam b'rishut yachid v'yiftach b'rishut rabim. Person can't stand in the rishut yachid and open up a lock or a door in the rishut rabim, assuming that both the key and the locking mechanism are out in the rishut rabim, and he's standing in the rishut yachid, he can't reach out and then take the key and open up the lock outside. But also the other way around, rishut rabim, you can't be standing in the rishut rabim and take a key that's in the rishut yachid and open up a locking mechanism that's a rishut yachid. Yiftach rishut yachid, elim kain. Unless there's a mechitza of 10 tefachim around it, that makes it into a complete reshut yachid there, and then you can use the key in that area. So amru lo, maseh b'shuk shel p'tamim. There was a incident in the marketplace of the p'tamim. P'tamim has a number of interpretations. One is mochrei ofot, which is that was the area where they sell the fowl, the poultry. The other possibility is p'tamim is the katzavim, which is the butcher's market. But pitaim in general means to fatten up. So they used to, the ones that to fatten the animals, but that referred to the butchers or the sellers of the meat. So that's a possibility of what this pitaim is. Shayu b'Rushalayim, she'onu alim, they used to lock up their stores, meniach et ha'mafteach b'chalon, and then they used to put the key in the window, she'agabe ha'petach, that was above the doorway. Rabbi Yossi Omer, shukshot tzmarim, the incident was in the wool marketplace, and not in the butcher's marketplace. So here it's just for the accuracy of the story, not for any halachic reason. It's just about where it was or what the incident was. There's no nafka mina. Alright, so Rabbanan. Let's try to understand the Rabbanan in this Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Meir Rishut Rabim. Rabbi Meir says, you can't be in the Rishut Yachid and then work in the Rishut Rabim, or the other way around. You can't be in the Rishut Rabim and work in the Rishut Yachid. Ma jahadju inu karmelit. And they respond to him about a karmelit. Why? Dama Rabba Bar Rav Chano, or Bar Chano, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yerushalayim imalei daltoden inalot b'layla. If Yerushalayim, if the doors were not closed at night, chayvin ala mishum reshut rabim, it would have been a reshut rabim. But the fact is that they do close the doors at night in Yerushalayim, and because of that, Yerushalayim is a karmelit and not a reshut rabim. The story that they brought is from the shuk, from the marketplaces in Yerushalayim. So at best, we're talking about a karmelit, not a reshut rabim. So Rabbi Meir makes a comment about some interaction between reshut yachid and reshut rabim. The Rabbanan come back and try to prove to him something from a Carmelite. Oh, they used to lock their doors to their stores while they were standing out in the Carmelite and put their key in a Carmelite. Okay, what does that have to do with what Rabbi Meir said? Rabbi Meir says you're not allowed to do that if your key's in Rishut Yachid and they put it in Rishut Yachid when you're in Rishut Rabim. But it's nothing about a Carmelite. So Amar Papa Kan Kodem Shenifritzu Bapratzot. Kan Lachash Shenifritzu Bapratzot. That depends when you're talking about in Yerushalayim. When Yerushalayim, the city, was totally enclosed by the wall, in that instance, then you're right. When they locked the doors at night to Yerushalayim, it was a Carmelite. But after the walls were breached, there were openings in the wall or breaches in the wall, then it no longer had a complete wall around it, and it was no longer Carmelite. It was a Rishut Rabim. So that's Rav Papa's answer, that they're talking about a Rishut Rabim now, because Yerushalayim now is considered to be a Rishut Rabim, because the walls have been breached. As opposed to Rabbi Bar Rav Chana's position, which is that Yerushalayim is considered to be a Carmelite because they locked the doors, that's before the walls were breached. So Rav Amar, Seifa Atan L'Sharei Gina. Okay, Rav says that the Mishnah is missing a little piece here, which is that the latter half of the Mishnah is talking about a gateway or a doorway to a Gina, to a garden being a Carmelite. And this, V'Hochi Kamar, V'Chein, this missing piece of the Mishnah is, Rabbi Meir says you can't stand in the Shut Rabim, do something in the Shut Yechid, stand in the Shut Yechid, do something in the Shut Rabim. V'chein, lo yamod b'shut yachid miftach b'karmelit. Also, you can't stand in the private domain and do something in a karmelit. B'karmelit, miftach b'shut yachid, or stand in a karmelit and do something in the private domain. Ela, imken asa mechitza gvoa asara tefachim, unless you make a wall around it that's 10 tefachim high, that makes it into a private domain. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's the position of Rabbi Meir. Now, amrulo, now the chachamim respond and say, maseh b'shuk shel p'tamim, she'yav b'Yerushalayim. It was this incident in the shuk in Yerushalayim. Shu'nu'alim, u'menichim et ha'mafteach v'chalon. They used to lock it, and then put the key up in the chalon. The shuk itself is a karmelit. So they're standing in a karmelit. The chalon above the door is a, assuming a reshut yachid, it's 4x4 tefachim. It's a reshut yachid, and the key and the locking mechanism is also reshut yachid, it's above 10 tefachim, 4x4. So then they take this mafteach from up on the chalon, they lock the door, put it back. So they're doing something from reshut yachid to reshut yachid. But they're standing in a Carmelite. This is what they're trying to prove to Rabbi Meir, who then said, if you're standing in Carmelite, you can't work in the Rishut HaYachid. And they're saying, no, that's not true. It was the shuk of the wool shuk, not the meat shuk. But nevertheless, they're bringing, in the end, what Rava says is, yes, Ein Ochanami, Yerushalayim is a Carmelite. And their proof is about a Carmelite, because Rabbi Meir also made a statement, which we don't see in our Mishnah, about Carmelite. And because of that, the Chachamim are responding to him. As opposed to Rav Papa's answer, which was Rav Papa said, you're right. It was that Yerushalayim was a Carmelite, but when Yerushalayim, the walls were breached, then it became a Rishut HaRabim, and that's why they're bringing the proof from Yerushalayim. So two possibilities about how to explain that Mishnah. One is to say we are talking about Rishut HaRabim, and that's why they responded with Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim at that point was Rishut HaRabim, or, no, we are talking about a Carmelite in the Mishnah. We're missing that one piece of Rabbi Meir's statement, that he also said his statement about a Carmelite, and then the Chachamim come and say, Carmelite, I don't think so, because we have a proof from the Shukei Yerushalayim, which are Carmelite, and yet they were still doing this with the geese. Okay, Tana Banan. Pitre Share Gina. Talking about an entranceway to a garden. Bizman Sheish Lehem Beit Sha'ar. When they have a guardhouse, Mibifnim. Poteach V'Noel Mibifnim. Then you can open and close it. You can lock and unlock it from inside. Because the guardhouse or the gatehouse on the inside makes it into a private domain. And therefore you can work in it. Bibachutz. If you have the gatehouse on the outside, then you can, from the outside, Poteach V'Noel Mibachutz. Mikan or mikan, if the gatehouse is both on the outside and the inside, poteach noel kan vekan, then you can open up on both sides. In lehem lo lekan velo lekan. If it doesn't have a gatehouse on either side, then asarim kan vekan. Then you can open it on either side because when you're on the inside, it's a reshut yachid. When the outside, it's a reshut rabim. V'chein chaniot habtuchot reshut rabim. And so too the case of stores that are open to the Rishut HaRabim, Bizmancha Manul, Lamata Miyasara, when the lock is below 10 Tfachim, then Mevi Mafteach, Me'er Shabbat, a person can bring a key, Me'er Shabbat, Umenicho Biskopa, and he can place it on the threshold, Lamachar, next day he comes, and Poteach, opens up the lock, Vinoel, locks it again, and then Machziro Biskopa, and puts it back on the threshold. Bizmancha Manul, Lamala Miyasara, when the locking mechanism is above 10 tefachim, mevi meiteh mafteach me'erv Shabbat, he brings the key before Shabbat, umenicho b'manul, he places it on top of the locking mechanism, v'machari comes, poteach v'noel, he can unlock it, lock it, umakziro l'mkomo, put it back in its place, divrei Rabbi Meir. This is the position of Rabbi Meir. So now, we have here a long piece that describes Rabbi Meir's position. Now, the first half of the braita, we understand, because this is Rabbi Meir, we know from our Mishnah. Which basically says, we don't want you standing in Rishut HaRabim, or a Carmelite, and working with a locking mechanism in Rishut HaYachid. For instance, if a lock's above 10 Tefachim, you're standing in Rishut HaRabim, it's a locking mechanism that's 4x4 above 10, that's a Rishut HaYachid. And if you have the key in a window or someplace above that's Rishut HaYachid, you can't take it from on top and then unlock it. Even though you stand in Rishut HaRabim, or a Carmelite, and the key, you're always keeping Rishut HaYachid, moving into Rishut HaYachid, we don't let you do that. And the reverse is true as well. If you're in the Rishut HaYachid, and you're reaching out to the Rishut HaRabim, or a Carmelite, to take the key through and unlock the mechanism, we're not going to let you do that. That's Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah. That's Rabbi Meir that we're familiar with. Elohim Kain. Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah says that it's a Mechitzasara, unless it has a wall that's 10 Tefachim high that makes the whole area into a private domain. That's what he says in our Mishnah. In the Braita, he says if it has a Beit Shar, if it has a gatehouse, the gatehouse is the equivalent of putting up a wall around it that makes it into a private domain. So that part of Rabbi Meir we understand completely. It's the latter half of the Braita and Rabbi Meir's position that's not clear to us, which is V'chein V'chaniyot, also by the store. In the store, there are two cases of the store, and this is where it seems to be different than what we've seen in Rabbi Meir's position until now. First case of the store is that he brings the key, and he places it on the iskopa, on the threshold. Somewhere on the threshold, he places it. The threshold we're going to see in the Gemara in a second is a threshold that's a Carmelite. Then he has a locking mechanism that's below 10 tefachim. That's also a Carmelite. So now here he is, a Carmelite, a key in the Carmelite, the locking mechanism in the Carmelite. Now, Rashi says he's standing in Rishut HaRabim. So he's standing in Rishut HaRabim and he moves the key from the threshold to the locking mechanism. So that's in a Carmelite, from a Carmelite to a Carmelite, but you're standing in Rishut HaRabim. Then we have a next one, which is that he comes and the key is placed on top of the locking mechanism. The locking mechanism is above 10 tefachim, 4x4, it's a Rishut HaYachid. He places it on top of the locking mechanism, that's also Rishut HaYachid. So he stands on the iskopa, he stands on the threshold, which is a Carmelite, Now he takes the key from on top of Rishu D'Yachid, puts it into a lock that's Rishu D'Yachid, and places it back. Rishu D'Yachid to Rishu D'Yachid, but he's standing in a Carmelite. Now, for Rabbi Meir, we haven't seen that before. Reisav Rabbi Meir, b'chein b'gina, b'sharei gina. So too is the case by a gate to the backyard or a gate to the garden. The garden is a stam, is a Carmelite, because it's usually more than Beit Satayim. That is hukaf shalo the dira, surrounded by a wall that's not for dira, more than a Beit Satayim. That's a karpaf, which is a Carmelite. So, therefore, we saw Rabbi Meir said, you can't do that. If you're standing in the Carmelite, you can't move something in the Rishut Yachid, or the other way around. If you're standing in the Rishut Yachid, you can't move in the Carmelite. Over here in the Brayta, it does not sound that way. One of those two we could solve, the problem, which Tosafot already mentions, is in the case where he has it on the skopa, and he takes the locking mechanism, there we said that he was standing in Rishut Rabim. That's what Rashi said. Tosafot says, it doesn't have to be. He could be standing on the skopa itself, and he's in the Carmelite. In that case, if he's in the Carmelite, takes the key from the Carmelite and locks the mechanism, that's all Carmelite, and that should be fine. So Tosafot says that shouldn't be a question, because that, I think, Rabbi Meir could be Matir. And he says, Rashi did the same thing. He says, Rashi, in his earlier version of his Perush, wrote Rishut Rabim. And then in his second version, he crossed it out. He crossed that out and said only the last case in the Braita is a problem for Rabbi Meir, not that middle case, because he could have been standing in a Carmelite, like Tosafot says. In our Rashi, we still have it in there, although the Marshal takes it out. He puts it in parentheses. You can see it in our Rashi. He puts it in parentheses, probably based on what Tosafot says, that Rashi erased that from his version later on. The original version had it, and then he crossed it out because he realized that he didn't have to be standing with Shudabim. He could be standing on a skopa. If he's standing on the skopa, then everything's in the Carmelite. It's not a problem. Right? That's the position of Rabbi Meir. But what we see from Rabbi Meir is you can stand on the skopa, which is a Carmelite, and work in the Rishut Yachid. You can do that, whereas before we saw you could not do that by Sharei Gina. That's one problem in this Breita. Then, the next piece of the Breita is about the position of the Chachamim. Chachamim Amim, Af Zman Shemanul L'malah Mi'asarat Tefachim, even when the locking mechanism is above 10 Tefachim, Mevi Mateach Me'arav Shabbat, you bring the key Me'arav Shabbat, Menichol V'Skopa, you can place it on the threshold. So as opposed to Rabbi Meir, who demands that you put it on top of the locking mechanism, Chachamim say you can put it on the iskopa. Machar, poteach minoel, tomorrow you can pick it up off the threshold, unlock, place it back, then come out. Oh, v'chalon shagabei amafteh petach. Or you can put it onto the window that's above the petach. Yesh v'chalon arba'a al arba'a. But if the window has 4x4 tfachim in it, asur v'pneish kumotzim reshut reshut. Because then he's moving it from the iskopa where he has the key and placing it into the window, which is a reshut yachid. What he's allowed to do is keep the key on the skopa, unlock the locking mechanism, which is the Rishut Yachid, up above 10 Tefachim, and then put the key back on the threshold. Or put it on the window above the door, as long as the window is only a Carmelite. Because then he's only moving the key from Carmelite to Carmelite, even though he's unlocking the Rishut Yachid in between. That we're fine with. But if he's going to take the key up the threshold, which is a Carmelite, and then put it above the door on a window that's Rishut Yachid, that even the Chachamim would not let. But this is the Chachamim L'shitatam, who say that you could be standing in a Carmelite and do something in the Rishut Yachid. We don't mind that at all. Stand in the Carmelite, work in the Rishut Yachid. Stand in the Rishut Rabim, do something in the Rishut Yachid. We don't mind. That's as long as you don't move it from one Rishut to the other Rishut. As long as you keep it in the same Rishut when you're working, then we're fine with it. So this is the Chachamim, the Shitatam. Now the Gemara goes back to discuss the Braita. Mida Kamar, V'chein Chanuyot. That Rabbi Meir's position says, same with stores. Michlau, to be Skopat Carmelite Askinan. Talking about a store, it's clear that the scope of the threshold in front of the store is a Carmelite. It's not talking about a Rishut Rabim, and it's certainly not talking about a Rishut Yachid. It must be that we're talking about an iskopa threshold that's a Carmelite. And that is because the first half of the Braita talks about a Gina, and the second half of the Braita talks about Chaniot. And the fact that it connects them with a Chain shows you that whatever we're speaking about here is equivalent to that which is Sharei Gina. And that means that the iskopa that we're speaking about here must be an iskopa at Carmelite. Haiman ul hechidami. What does this locking mechanism look like? So if it doesn't have 4x4 tefachim on it, it's a makom pturu. If you have something that's less than 10 tefachim off the ground, less than 4x4, that's considered to be a makom ptur. Or even above 10 tefachim, it's less than 4x4, it's a makom ptur. Why does Mamir bother by the fact that you're going to take the key from here and put it on top or move it around? Makom ptur, even Rabbi Meir agrees you can use it. Ve'itbe arba'a. So now, if it has 4x4 tefachim on it, then Baha'a Lamer Abanan, then why would the Rabban over there say, Ap is mancha man ul the malamiyut, it's above 10 tefachim, mevim avteach me'erv shabbat, u'menichol b'iskopa, that you're allowed to place it on the threshold, u'machar poteach v'noel, bo, then you can open up the next day, u'machzir al iskopa, and put it back down below, o l'cholon shal gabe petach, v'ha ka metalta mikamalid v'shut yachid, you're taking off the iskopa, you're taking off the threshold, and you're putting them into locking mechanism, you're putting it into a shut yachid, why is that permissible? So Amar Abaye, the old Am, the Ein Bo Arba'a. It's not 4x4. V'yesh bo l'chuk l'ashlim l'dalet. But as in the doorway, you could carve out more space to make it into 4x4. U'bahak lige, and this is a machlok that we've seen before. The Remeir Zavar achuk gim l'ashlim. Remeir believes that we look at solid space as if it's carved out. And if you have something that's there, we continue it on as if it's there, and it makes up the requisite space that you need. Whereas the Chachamim believe, Rabbanan Zavar ein chukim l'ashlim. We do not carve it out. So you have here a box, a lock box, that sits on the doorway. It's above 10 tefachim. It's less than 4x4 on top of the lock box. But the doorway has thickness to it. And if you were to continue the lock box into the door and carve into the door, you could get an area that's 4x4 tefachim. So that's what Rabbi Meir says. Rabbi Meir says you cannot take the key from the skopa and then use it for this locking mechanism, because then you'd be taking it from a Carmelite and using it with something that's going to be a reshuta yachid. Because you say chukim lashlim, it makes it to 4x4 now. The Chachamim, on the other hand, don't say Chukim Lashim, so therefore the lockbox is less than 4x4, it's still a Makom Ptur. You can take it from the Iskop or from the Carmelite and put it up top. And that is what their Machloket revolves around. Why can you put the key or not put the key on the Iskopa and then take it to the lockbox? For the Chachamim, it's yes, because the Iskopa is a Carmelite, the lockbox is a Makom Ptur, no problem. For Rabbi Meir, it's no, because the Iskopa is a Carmelite and the lockbox is a Reshut Yachid, because you say Chukim Lashim, so you're not allowed to do it. Amar Rabbi Barabai, Shmamina, Bahamat Nitatlat. So therefore, from this brayta, we can conclude three things. Number one, Shmamina, Chukim Lashlim. That we do say Chukim Lashlim. That's Rabbi Meir's position in the brayta. And we do say Chukim Lashlim. Shmamina, the second thing that we learn from this brayta is, Hadar Bei Rabbi Meir Mishare Gina. That Rabbi Meir reversed his position from the gates of the Gina. Gates of the Gina were a Carmelite and a Reshut Yachid, that you're allowed to move or not move an item. When you're standing in a Carmelite, can you move it in the Reshut Yachid? Pretty clear here, Rabbi Meir reversed his position, because in the case here, he says that when the locking mechanism is above 10 tefachim, you can bring the Mafteach and Erev Shabbat and put it on top of the locking mechanism. Then you come on Shabbat, you stand on the Iskopa, which is a Carmelite, you'll move the key up the top of the lockbox, which is a Reshut Yachid, put it into the lockbox, which is a Reshut Yachid, and then put it back. So you're doing all this work in Reshut Yachid when you're standing in a Carmelite. And Rabbi Meir says, no problem. So it's clear that Rabbi Meir reversed his position. Again, you could have said it possibly in the previous case, because there he puts it on the Iskopa, and he's in with the lockbox that's a Carmelite, and you're standing in Reshut Rabim. Rashi does say it here, but again, Tosafot says Rashi crossed that out, because he could have been standing on the Iskopa itself, and then everything would be in a Carmelite. You have no proof from that case. Shmamina. And then you have the last one, that midrabanan ita the rabdimi. That we know from the Rabbanan's position in this Braita that we hold of Rav Dimi. What's Rav Dimi's position? Chiyat Rav Dimi, Rav Yochanan. Mekom she'in bo arba'a l'arba'a. Any place that doesn't have 4x4 in it, mutar livnei Reshut Rabim, livnei Reshut Yachid ha-katef alav. It can be utilized both by the people in Reshut Rabim and the people in Reshut Yachid, because it's a makom patur. It's a makom patur. Ubevad shol yachlifu. As long as you don't pass from one to the other. How do we see that in our case over here? Is because he puts the key on the skopa. Then he goes to the lockbox. Then from the lockbox, he has to either put it back on the iskopa or leave it on top of the lockbox. That's what the Chachamim say. Or put it into a window that is less than 4x4 tefachim. Why? Why is that the case? Chachamim say, because I started out in a Carmelite. The iskopa is a Carmelite. The lockbox is a makom ptur, and the window above is a Carmelite. So my choices are, I take the key here, and I open up the lock, and I put it on top of the lockbox. It's from a Carmelite to makom ptur. Fine. Or, I take the key, unlock the lockbox, then put it back on the Iskopa. That's Carmelite to Carmelite, through a Makom Ptur. No problem. Or, I take the key from the Iskopa Carmelite, put it in the lockbox Makom Ptur, and then put it on the window that's a Carmelite. All of those are fine. The Chachamim don't allow you to do is take it from the threshold, the Iskopa that's a Carmelite, unlock it in a Makom Ptur, and then put it on the window above that's a Reshut Yachid. Why not? You're taking it from a Carmelite, you stop in a Makom Ptur. When you unlock the lockbox, you're stopping in a Makom Ptur. And then you're putting it into Reshut Yachid. That should be fine. Carmelite to Makom Ptur, Makom Ptur to Reshut Yachid should be totally fine. But what do we see from that? They have this position of Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi says you can move between an area and a Makom Ptur and back, but the one thing you can't do is Yachlifu. You can't pass to a second Reshut. We're afraid. If we let you do that, you're instead of stopping the Makom Ptur, you're going to go directly. If we let you take it from the threshold, put it into the locking mechanism, then put it into the window that's Reshut Yachid, you know what he's going to do next time? He's going to take it directly from the threshold of Carmelite and put it into the window directly. So we don't let you pass to a Makom Ptur, to another Reshut. You can go back to the original Reshut. You can leave it there, but you cannot put it into a new Reshut. And we learned that from the Rabbanan. So those are the three conclusions we get from this Braita that we saw above. Number one is that we say Chokhim Lashlim according to Rabbi Meir, at least. Number two is that we may reverse this position, and then when you're in a Carmelite, you can do things in Rishut Yachid. Number three is that the Rabbanim believe when you use a Makom Ptur, you can only return it to its original location, original Rishut, which is to Carmelites, back to a Carmelite, or leave it there. You can't move it to another type of Rishut after you pass through a Makom Ptur. Okay, next Mishnah. Nagar, Sheyesh Berosho Glustura. This is a peg that has a rounded top to it. The lock mechanism was which there's a hole in the ground, and they used to put a peg in there, and the door can no longer open. It stopped the door from opening. Today they have some things like that, where they mount them to the door, and you put your foot on it, presses it down, and holds the door in place. So here, this a peg that you put into the ground that blocks the door from opening. But on top of it, it has this rounded top on it. So now, Nagar Sheish Rosho Glustra, Rabbi Eliezer Oser, that says you can't pick it up on Shabbat or Yom Tov because it's mukse. Rabbi Yossi Matir. Rabbi Yossi says you can pick it up because it's not mukse. I'm Rabbi Lezer. Masev Knesset Shabit Tveria. There was this case where there was a shul in Tveria. Sheyunu Agim Boheter. That they used to be Matir people to use this. Glustra, pick it up. Achabar Rabbi Gamliel Vazkenim Vasrulem. Until Rabbi Gamliel and his Kenim came and said, you can't do that. Yossi Meir. No. You got the story wrong. Isur now Agubo. No, they used to not use it. Anshavani Yom Tov. Bar Rabbi Gamliel Vazkenim Vitirulem. And they were Matir it for them. Tosva points out that we have a Gemara in Pesachim that says that in a place where people are noheg isur, they're noheg not to do something, and it's really mutar. They have a minhag not to do it. There you're not allowed to be matir in front of them. You're not allowed to take away their chumrah. So why over here did Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim come and take away their chumrah? So he says over here, it wasn't a chumrah. They just didn't know. They made a mistake. They made a mistake and thought it was asur. So they came and corrected him and said it's mutar. The problem we have is when they're machmir, when they know it's mutar and they're still machmir, don't come and be matir in front of them, because then it's as if you are denigrating their chumrah. It's as if you're taking away something that is special to them and you're ruining this chumrah, and people are then going to be light about these surim in general. But over here, where they thought it was asur, now you're correcting them, that they're allowed to do, and that's what was happening here. Benital yudo kule amalo plige. In a case where it's taken with its string, nobody argues. They used to attach this peg to the door with a string. If the string is strong enough that if you take the peg, the string will come with it, then in that case, everybody agrees that you can carry it on Shabbat, because mukhamilta dun olkai. Then it's clear that this is the locking mechanism for the door, and it doesn't look like bone, it's not Mexican bone, it's not a problem of muksip. Keep lige, where do they argue in a Mishnah? B'sheinu nitol b'igudo. In a case where, if you pick it up, the string wouldn't come along with it. I mean, the string would tear, or would not hold the peg up. The Marsavar came to Yeshvaro show Glustra Torat Kliyala. The position of Rabbi Yossi is, since it has this rounded top to it, it becomes a Kli. It's not just a peg that you're going to put into the ground. It's not like bone. It's a peg that has this top to it, and therefore it's a Kli. It's not Mukse. And since it's not Mukse, it looks like a Kli. If it looks like a Kli, it doesn't look like bone. Because when you put it in the ground, it's like a regular Kli that you're putting into the ground. That we wouldn't say is bone. Marsavar came to Nital Bigudolo. But Rabbi Eliezer, on the other hand, believes, since it's not taken with its string, so it's not permanently attached to the door, and even though it has this little top to it, it's not considered to be a kli. And when you put it in your ground, it looks like bonet, mechsek bonet. Because it looks like you took building material, stuck it into the ground to make the locking mechanism, and it's mechsek bonet. Okay, we'll stop over here.